Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, hello, this is Tyler. Welcome to Totally Traumatic Brain. My show usually is scheduled for 9:30 on Sundays. I've taken a bit of a break lately to do some more contemplating and thinking, and also just did a little travel, went to San Diego, hung out there for a little bit, and so I'm back. So I was scheduled for 9:30 this morning, for those of you that looked me up at my usual time, and there was a big blue banner across my studio here on the computer saying something about an issue with something with Blog Talk. So I thought it would just be better just to wait an hour or so for them to correct that. So today's topic is an interesting one to me. I used to wonder if there was a personality, a caregiver personality. And so I think I've come to the conclusion that I think there is a caregiver personality, because there are people who, confronted with a loved one's illness or sickness, can pass a lot of judgments easily, can say, that's not my problem, I'm taking off, which explains why, maybe this explains why, the higher percentage of females are caregivers. Women are sort of grown up into this role. I'd like to see little girls grow up with more of an autonomous and androgynous sort of upbringing, instead of still being brought up on Susie Bakes sets and you can go to any store. It's 2016. You can go to any store and you can see vacuum cleaners, kid play vacuum cleaners, and there's a picture of a little girl on it. There's not a picture of a girl and a boy on it. And so we continue in this society in the United States to raise girls to be caregivers. And I think that I would like in my lifetime to see that end. Because not that I want everybody to turn away from their loved one. That's not what my point is. My point is that you make a decision to be a caregiver. You make a decision and you can do it. I believe you can do it, be a caregiver for a loved one and also care for yourself. So that's what my point is there, is that you can be a caregiver and care for yourself equally so, and sometimes put yourself first over the care receiver. But yet there's this personality that many women grow up with. It's not the kind of home I grew up in. I was actually very happy to grow up with my parents. They were very much allowed me to grow up to see what my potential would be. And I was able, as a child, to play with trucks, and I was able to play with anything I wanted to. They didn't press me into a female girl role. I wasn't raised to get married and have kids and cook for some guy. I was raised more to develop myself. And as long as I didn't burn the house down, I had permission from my parents to grow into whatever my potential was. And I'm very grateful for that. I'd like to see more of that. And for boys as well, to have more options, I think it would make a more equal society. But thinking about the caregiver role, whether you're a guy or a gal, female or male, and you're a caregiver, I think that there is, now my topic today, fear, the junkyard dog that keeps you out of happiness. I think the idea is when we make a decision, like I think I put it best here, I want to share a new lesson. What I feel is I'd like to put myself first and know how that feels. And so I had to dissect exactly why I wasn't putting myself first. Okay. And that's what I kind of got started on, personality and how we're raised and all this kind of stuff came out of this personal discussion with myself. I'm going through a lot of transition right now, as many of us are. I think the world's in transition, but I am going through a lot of transition. And I think I tapped into something, and that's what I want to share, is that that when you make a decision in your life, it affects so many other people. If we make a big decision, whether we move, whether we get married, whether we partnership, whether we get a dog or a cat or whatever, you know, whether we travel, where we travel, there's so many things that are on the larger size, and also taking on caregiving role. Those are huge, huge decisions and things that happen in life. Sometimes we're defaulted and we can't help it. We just get put in a position and we just have to swim and survive. But when we are faced with big decisions, it's interesting how a person, as a caregiver personality, I'm going to say, will make that decision and they'll think, and I found myself doing this. I have a big decision to make coming up, like in the next few days. And it's a huge one. And so I started thinking, oh, well, this person over here just did this for me, and they're not going to like it. And this person, it's going to affect them. And this person's going to have to find another place to live if I move, and that's going to affect them, and she's 97, and it's going to affect her whole family if I do X, Y, and Z. So I started going down this path, and I stopped myself, and I said, wow, so that's the thought process for somebody who's not putting themselves first. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. So the analysis is that I broke down my decision-making about my future, and instead of just making the decision based on what I want to do, sending my desires, my rockets of desires, and utilizing my affirmations, utilizing my laws of the higher potential within me, and rather than rallying up all my cells in my body for what I desire and what I want, I started taking apart. I didn't even go there. That's the bad thing. I didn't even go there. I went to so-and-so won't like this. So-and-so did this, and I owe them. It comes from that. I owe them. I owe her. I owe him. I owe this. I owe my brother to stay in where I'm at, and, you know, and see him more, and, you know, spend more time with him, and I all these things, you know. And it was like, and then I just, it just hit me. It just hit me. What about you, Tyler? What about your desire? Believe it or not, people will survive, whatever my decision is. People will survive. People will figure it out. Change is part of life. It's change. It's change within all of us. And using an example of my 97-year-old roommate. Okay, here's one example. It's my making my decision out of my heart and out of my desires will, in my belief system, should be not that it's going to negatively affect somebody, it's going to positively affect somebody. We can't make decisions without affecting our closest loved ones and our friends and everybody else and our employers and everybody. We're all interconnected the closer we are in proximity. But the thing is that, say, for example, with the 97-year-old movement, you know, I'm very close to the family is why I'm here. And once I tell them that I'm going to make a move, that, you know, they were all going to, like, panic and go, oh, my God, this is the worst thing that's happened to us. And Tyler's just been so great and so close to the family and everything. And then I just realized, well, let's turn it around. What about, they say, that is the most amazing thing. I am so happy for you. Thank you for all the time and all you've supported us and worked with us and helped us with our mom and everything you've done. And we're grateful. And now it's her turn to go live with one of the daughters or some other arrangement. But see, I have to break it. We get to a point where we need to break off us taking on everyone else's responsibility. And two, maybe it's a little ego in there. Maybe it's like, oh, gee, I can't be replaced because I go so over and beyond. everything and every walk of life, everybody I'm in contact with, I go over and beyond. In my social services work, I go over and beyond. I really get into things, and I really have a real heart everything I do, and compassion. And again, I have to say, because this is totally traumatic brain, I have to say that I am the product of a brain injury. And that's why part of why we're here, right? We have someone that we love that has a brain injury. We're trying to help somebody. We're a caregiver, or we're a survivor. I've been both. Many of us have been both. My mom took care of me, and I took care of her. It was the right thing to do. She taught me to care for her, but never put myself second. So that's the whole, you know, the whole pie of it. And I did the right thing by my mom. And did I suffer? Did I lose in that deal? Yes. When I was 17, when my car accident happened, my mom was a young woman. And so she was able to sort of regain her career and all of those kinds of things. But see, it was later in my career. I just started my law career at the DA's office in San Francisco. And my career was just on fire, on fire. And so, you know, those are the things. And what happened is that I had to abandon my law career to take care of her. I lost all my investments in 2008, my retirement, everything. I had investments. I had everything managed really well, I thought, and it's all gone. So you can lose a lot, but I still wouldn't make the decision differently today than I did to care for her. Because being a caregiver is one of the hardest damn jobs in the entire world, and it is also one of the most rewarding. And so you do it because it is the right thing to do. But I believe that we can maximize our losses. I could have maximized my ability to keep my career. I could have worked harder on doing that. So that's why I'm here today, and I'm saying, caregivers, you can put yourself first. Think of your future. Think of your career. Do the right thing and do what you can do. Put yourself in peril. And that's the caregiver personality that is detriment. It's a detriment. So that's what I'm saying. So I believe that we can put ourselves first. I think we can, through the laws of the higher potential and through the beauty of our passions and the rockets of our desire, once we tap into that flow, the fear is an ugly thing. Now, fear will keep us alive. If we fear a mountain lion, we come upon a path. Fear will probably help us to make those right decisions, fight, flight, whatever, and make those decisions for our survival. But you know what? We really don't have a lot of mountain lions that we encompass. I don't really think there's a whole lot of reason for fear to be around us. So, and fear is one of my biggest battles. It is the face of fear, and that's why I call it the junkyard dog that keeps you out of happiness, because it does. If you're in fear, you're not in happiness. If you're in fear, you are so far away from the laws of higher potential, of your potential, you are just going down that rabbit hole that can take us to places that we really, it's unnecessary for us to go. So what my thinking is looking at what you desire and putting fear out of your mind and riding that wave. I don't know how many of you have surfed. I've surfed quite a bit, and I know how hard you work to get that wave. And once you get that wave, that feel, that flow, that beauty of movement, you just feel just the sun and the wind, and you're free. There's no problems. There's just moments on that wave where you do nothing but ride. And that's how I feel about this big decision I'm going to be making. I got into the ride. I got into the wave. I got into connection, and I allowed my laws of higher potential to work within me. And I got on that wave, and I thought, wow, this is beautiful. I know exactly what my decision is. I know exactly what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. And it's going to affect a lot of people. And when I tell people, I will introduce all the issues and all the talk it out. I will offer myself to be there to find other resolutions and work with things and be creative around change. And I think we do need to get creative around change. Now, of course, this is totally traumatic brain, and this is about wanting to encourage you to live at peace with your brain injury and caregivers to live at peace with their care receiver, their survivor. And also, I just want to mention, of course, Counting the Days, Recovery Through the Romance Side of the Brain is on Amazon, and that's my book of poetry. I'm an author and non-practicing lawyer and TBI enthusiast. So with that said, I just want to give you my a way to reach me. We have a website. Our new website is totallytraumaticbrain.com. We're building that. Also, you can reach me if you have questions or if you want to say something. Tyler@totallytraumaticbrain.com is my email. I have an older website that I built myself, TylerStanley.net, that just has the book signings I've done and my mom's pictures there and a couple of things. So that's all I'm going to, you know, waste time doing. But again, if you're reading my Fear the Junkyard Dog That Keeps You Out of Happiness, if you're reading that little blurb I wrote, we are all linked. So being the caregiver personality I am, it goes like so. Person one will need X, Y, and Z because of my decision. Person two will need to change the way she does a thing because of my decision. Person three, and so on. And so I explained that. And did I look at what I wanted to do? No. Did I create the desire about my having happiness? No. I put others first. And I put them first in the way that I mentioned, and that is that we put our people first by kind of setting ourselves up, and it's sort of like looking at a chessboard where we sort of trap ourselves, and then all of a sudden there's checkmate. And the checkmate is that you didn't make the decision because you considered everybody else, and you did not make that decision for your happiness and for what you wanted to do. We should not take on the responsibilities and obligations of others. We can help others, and we can love others and support them and care for them. But again, I don't think we have to put ourselves in peril. So the idea is to get connected and get connected with your source, your higher power, your laws of your higher power. You get connected to that, and then you learn to ride. You learn to ride that wave. So you see the difference. On one hand, there's your happiness, and on the other, you're thinking of all the people who have to make change. Well, darn it, that's the whole idea. What we're doing is we're picking our happiness, and we're following our rockets of desire, and we've wished this. We've made this happen. We've created it. And stop. We're not going to go for it. Forget that. What we're going to do is do the same thing that we're going to require other people in our lives to do, and that is adapt. People will adapt. I am not so important, and I am not so special that anybody can do without me. And I don't want to cheat. See, if I make decisions for everybody else and choose unhappiness for myself, then I'm not doing them any favor. I'm taking their growth away from them. I'm taking their opportunities for the higher potential, and their higher potential if I'm making decisions for them. And I am making decisions for them when I refuse to do what makes me happy in consideration of them. So it is a little bit of a circle. It is. I admit it is a little bit of a circle, but life is. Sort of we start, and we have all this middle, and then we end. And how I look at life at this point is, it is all about how we begin it and how we end it. Everything in the middle is life. And life is defined by ups and downs and decisions and change and obligations, responsibilities, and all of these things. But really, if you come into the world okay, you know, hey, by that, awesome, okay? you had a pretty nice childhood, thinking about, you know, did you go to the beach? Did you have a good time? Did you have friends? Did you like your school? You know, some of those things. And then how we go out, okay? How we go out is, do you live in the right place for yourself as you age? Are you making the decisions to you know, balance your life and care for your health and put those things in place? Are you prepared? You know, so it's those kinds of things. But I think all that matters is how do you come in and how do you leave? And what's in between is managing fear. And fear is extremely important, like I said, if you're confronting a monster. But since we don't have a lot of those around, I think we can sort of start learning to get rid of fear in our lives, because fear just literally freezes people in place. It makes it impossible for people to move forward. It makes it impossible for people to see on the other side. And fear can be a trap, and it is the junkyard dog. And the junkyard dog, what does that do? Keep you out of an area you shouldn't be in, okay? The junkyard dog might protect a beautiful pool, a beautiful property, an oasis, a park, anything. And, you know, and it's keeping you from that beauty. It's keeping you on the outside. And fear will do that. So, you know, I do a lot of help for others. I help a lot of people. I help clients. I'm that personality. I'm very, very strong and very, very capable. And so I like to share that. But now I'm learning. Now I'm getting it, that I can actually do that without losing. And because whenever you feel you're losing something of yourself, you're going the wrong way. Just stop it. Sit back wherever you like to sit and think and ponder. If you have a favorite space, a room, a library, a beach, or whatever it is, that special place for you, a park. I love the sun. I love pools and water. And I'll go there and I'll contemplate and I'll think things out. And then sometimes you can think too much, because sometimes those decisions, when you set those rockets of desire out there and you throw that up in the universe and the universe delivers, you're not going to sit there and ponder. You're going to feel it. You're going to ride that wave, and you're going to choose to make that decision. And you're going to walk in faith. That's another component of all of this. I believe that once you make that decision, you walk in faith. Whatever you fear, you know, a job, will you be able to financially do it? Will this happen? Will that happen? Will this, will that, will that? And all those, that fear brings that. Questioning, questioning, questioning. So just believe, because this feels so good, this ride is so nice and so sweet, just go with the feel good. Go with the feel good. Make that decision. And trust and have faith that all the other things will line up, that you'll have that job, you'll have that financial strength, you'll have whatever it is that you need to follow through with this decision. And just, it's faith. It's faith. And if you don't have faith, this world's pretty hard. Like, now we're dealing with popping up on my computer like crazy is all about this guy, the shooter in Orlando. And I'm going to try and find a way to donate my blood. They have a call for O negative and AB negative blood, which is a very rare blood type. And I'm going to go and see if I can give blood tomorrow that can go to Orlando. And so that's not taking anything. That is a very caring, loving thing to do for those victims and victims' families, and the injured, is to provide desperately needed blood. Rare blood, and I can do that without hurting myself or taking away from my day. I have to plan more about my Monday. I have a busy Monday every Monday, and I just have to plan a little better. I am a survivor of traumatic brain injury. I was in a terrible car accident, and I suffer every day from the results of brain injury. I have my biggest challenge now is paperwork. I have a lot of paperwork, and luckily I'm getting help with that, so it's taken some of the pressure off now. But it's minutia my brain just doesn't do minutiae, detail after detail after detail, and writing this and that yet. I don't do well with it. My brain just shuts down and stresses out. So I've learned about my brain because I love my brain. I love my brain every minute, and I love it, and I care about it. And so what I do is I try and manage everything so my brain doesn't hurt. And because anyone out there that's a survivor listening, you know your brain can hurt. You can push it too hard, and the backlash is a very agitated, stressed state, and it doesn't feel good. And so again, you know, I'm a writer. I'm working on a screenplay. I want to bring totally traumatic brain to you. Every Sunday, to hope that maybe something that I say may help you in your journey. Again, we are all on a journey, and make that decision and feel confident about it, because you're just asking people grow and do their own personal growth. And don't take responsibility for the people that don't want to grow, because they're going to make it loud and clear they don't like the decision, and they want you to do X, Y, and Z, and, you know, it's not your responsibility. We all have responsibility for our own lives, and we have responsibility for our loved ones. I have a dog that I'm responsible for, and Gizmo goes to the vet, he's going to go to the dentist in a couple of weeks. I'm responsible. So there are, in some ways, we are responsible. If you're a parent out there, you're responsible. But you know what I'm saying. You're not responsible for everybody on the planet, or your boss, or all the people we come in contact with, that people have entrusted us with something to do. You are a free agent, so to speak, and make that decision and be confident. Have the faith. You know, one of these days I want to talk about follow your heart. That's a whole nother thing. That's similar in ways, but that's a tough one, because many people who did the follow your heart, that's not the same as I'm talking about. A lot of people fell on their face, follow their heart. They left jobs and wanted to become writers and poets out there, and they spent their life savings, and they did this and that, and they traveled, and, you know, whatever. It was follow your heart, and they landed on their tush. So the thing is, what I'm talking about here is not, it's following a plan. It's following the rockets of desire that you sent up to have this opportunity presented to you. Comes from thought. It comes from some amount of planning, and you've already done the work to bring it to your life. And so if it feels good, if it feels good and if it feels right, then make that decision. And again, everybody will have to take care of themselves. I appreciate Blog Talk Radio for allowing me to be here. I may change. Blog Talk has a lot of issues, it seems, lately, and I may change. But I hope wherever I'm at, I hope you'll find me. I hope you have an interest in what I'm saying. If you don't, I certainly am in the wrong place, but I'm going to stick with it and see if basically I can't be of some service to caregivers and survivors out there listening. So I'm going to start having some guests. I'm going to try and do that, I think that will make it much more interactive. Again, this is a tribute to my mother, the greatest caregiver in the world. So I'm signing off now, and I just wish you all the best. A wonderful, wonderful Sunday. All right? So take care, be good, and make that decision.